When we started writing our thoughts down on paper, it opened up endless possibilities. Ideas could grow beyond the borders of the mind, and it changed the world. Somewhere along the way, we lost touch with paper, distracted by devices made for every purpose except for thinking and focus. On edge, waiting for the next notification. But what if new technology didn't pull us away from paper, but brought us closer to it? Listen. That's not paper. It's the sound of the new Remarkable Paper Pro, rewriting the future. A paper tablet with a true color ink display, gentle reading light, and unheard of tactility. With digital features for taking notes, thinking, and organizing, without any distractions. Paper is about to change the world again. Get your paper tablet at remarkable.com today.
Kathleen, I don't have a car, but it's also hot out and I don't want to walk places or sit in a hot subway.
Yes.
And that is why I am ecstatic that we are partnered with Lectric e-bikes, because I can jump on my e-bike and zoom anywhere I want to go and get that breeze blowing in my face. I also don't have to like take forever to walk somewhere.
I know a lot of people aren't going on vacation this summer because of inflation and high gas prices. And if you want a little bit of adventure this summer, there is no better way to sort of get that in your life, but in an affordable way. That is why Lectric e-bikes are so amazing, because you can take them anywhere. They fold in half. There's no bike rack or truck rack required when you're putting them in your car, and you save on gas and you're doing better things for the planet too.
And they're surprisingly affordable compared to other e-bikes on the market. They cover up to 45 miles at up to 28 miles an hour on just a 4 to 6 hour charge. So like Kathleen said, they're so much better for the environment and way more eco-friendly than a car.
And the battery is hidden away and there's this really cool LCD display.
Yeah.
Bethany, where have you ridden your e-bike?
I've taken it, Kathleen, to Trader Joe's because it's so far away, but I like their prices.
I can't imagine a better use of your bike, honest to goodness.
I love it. Plus, I get to wear my cute little bike helmet. It makes me so happy. So join the affordable e-bike revolution. Go to electricebikes.com and use the code TASTE to get a free foldable mountable bike lock with any bike purchase.
That's a free bike lock when you use the code TASTE at Electric e-bikes. That's electricebikes.com.
Stop laughing. This is erotic.
I'm on a new medication and I think it's making me hallucinate.
I would have been a Ted Bundy victim.
Yeah. I had no idea that so many people out there felt the same way I did. Now I want a pina colada.
An acquired taste.
This is an Acquired Taste podcast. I'm Kathleen Heaney, your lavender buying, wall paint, rookie mistake making, swimsuit with underwear pondering friend.
And I'm Bethany Watson, your space buns wearing. There's a cramp on my left buttock that I'm trying to massage out having. My house is a mess and I just want to throw it all away, friend.
And every week, Bethany and I get together to discuss our lives, what's weird in the world, and we invite you to join us. This week, we're talking about
the Kuykendall phone mystery.
Kuykendall.
Have you heard of this story?
Is it like that? Is it related to the Klondike bar? Because that's what it sounds like.
No, the famous Kuykendall Klondike family merger didn't happen until much, much later. This is a phone mystery that happened in 2007.
Yeah.
When we were not using iPhones, we were using a bunch of different cell phones, and one family started getting harassed, and they don't know how.
Interesting.
Via their cell phones.
So, is it like someone had the phone number before they did?
Well, it more like they started getting calls from inside the house, so to speak.
Oh, no, 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 no.
Very creepy, very scary stuff. What about you, Kathleen? What are you talking about today?
I am talking about sustainable fashion, how to cut the environmental cost of your clothes, and when you're buying fast fashion, what big no-nos to look for so you can make better decisions.
Wow. Kathleen, I'm so glad you're talking about this because I was just thinking about this last night.
Yeah.
Because I saw this woman walking down the street when I was on my old lady walk the other morning. And she was wearing these amazing low-rise purple plaid pants, wide leg. They were just awesome.
Yeah.
But because I'm me and I was on a walk, I was sweaty. I was just disgusting and sweaty. And I didn't want to walk up to her, this like chic, beautiful woman, and ask her where she got her pants while I sweat all over her. So I started Googling, and the only ones that looked like they matched were fast fashion. And I was like, I know that fast fashion like steals independent artists' designs and all this stuff, and I don't want to support it.
Yeah.
But also, I'm not made of money. What do you do? So I'm so glad you're talking about this, Kathleen.
You know what, Bethany? They were probably vintage.
Oh, I hate it because then you can't find it.
I know. I know. And I'm going to talk about visiting vintage stores and like things that you can look for. But it's hard when you live in a fashion forward city like New York.
Yeah.
Because so many people are savvy shoppers. And when you go into the Goodwill in New York, unless you're there every day, it's sometimes it's really hard to find these amazing things that people like are always posting on Instagram.
Yeah. There's also a vintage store in the East Village that sells mostly t-shirts. And I do not know how they're still open because they sell like old NSYNC shirts for $65 to $95. I've gone in there exactly once and I'm like, this is egregious. Like, I don't know. That's insane to me.
If I ever were to become a millionaire or hit the lottery, I truly think, and Bethany, you could totally get in on this with me.
Thank you.
My dream job would be to open up like a little secondhand shop where in one corner I sell the pieces that I've refurbished, you know, for jacket way up.
Yes.
And then in another corner, I sell things that I think that are cool, like old NSYNC t-shirts, but like at a moderate price. Do you know what I mean?
Completely. I mean, just it's so dumb. And there's also so many different places that you can order things secondhand. Mm-hmm. Like I'm a big eBay fan. Yes. And eBay is not going to let you charge $65 for the same NSYNC t-shirt that someone else is charging $10 for. You're just, I mean, no one will buy it.
Yeah, I like Poshmark and eBay and ThredUp because sometimes it gives the buyer a little bit more power because you can put it in your cart. Even if it doesn't allow you to bargain back and forth with the seller, you can put it in your cart and sit and just leave it there.
Yeah.
So then, you know, the company that's selling it, the secondhand company, is like, okay, if we offer them a discount, they might actually buy it. Have you ever purchased from Apartment Deco, aptdeco.com?
No, I haven't.
It's furniture. And you can make an offer.
Ooh.
And a lot of times you can make an offer and shipping is free. So for my mom's house, I just got a gorgeous secondhand restoration hardware dresser.
Those are expensive normally.
Bethany, they go for like $3,000 original price. I got it for something like $700 with free delivery.
Jeez.
Yeah, from App Deco because I could name my own price because people didn't want it for whatever reason.
Those people, God bless those people who are just like, I don't know. I don't really want it anymore. It's from Restoration Hardware. It's made out of
the finest wood.
The finest wood. Wood from the magical forest of everlasting youth.
The champagnes of wood.
Kathleen, what rookie paint mistake did you make?
You know how, you've said it before on this podcast, when you're painting a room, when you're painting a wall, basically all of the hard work happens before you get the color on the wall.
Totally. All the prep and the taping and the washing. Yeah, all of it.
So I made the mistake of going through all of that. And then on a separate wall, I painted my samples.
Okay.
Very small samples away from the window. And I let them sit there for a few weeks. And Bethany, you need to paint your samples closer to the window.
Okay.
Because I went out and I spent $60 on a freaking gallon of paint. I put the color up on the wall and the undertones were totally wrong for my room.
Oh.
And because I didn't paint the sample close enough to the window where I could actually see what light was going to look like when it hit the color, I made not once, but twice, because I have a chair rail on my wall and it's a different, I'm doing different colors on the top and the bottom.
Yeah.
I made that mistake twice. So that's $120 down the drain where I had to go and get a different color where the undertones were better for my room.
Okay, can I ask a stupid question?
Yeah, go ahead.
How do you know what undertones are right and wrong for your room?
A lot of it is personal preference.
Okay, so you want like a cooler, color, right? So you want like more blue undertones versus like a warmer, more orange undertones.
Yes, and also a lot of it has to do with where, what time of day you get light. Oh. Like I have a west facing living room.
Okay.
So I get the most powerful light in the afternoon.
Okay.
But if you have an east facing room, you get more light in the morning. If you have a south facing room, that's really ideal because then you get light all day long. Same with north, you know, but in the north, it's going to be like a softer light. In the south, it's going to be a stronger light. And so what really matters to me is how my paint looks in the afternoon, because that's where I have the most extended period of light.
Okay.
And I accidentally chose a white with these like really sallow green undertones.
Uh-oh.
And I wanted something like closer to the blush family, or like more like in the middle of the line neutral. Mm-hmm. And that's why when you go to the paint store, there's like 1,000 shades of white, 1,000 shades of blue. And you're like, these all look the same, but there are undertones and you don't get to see those undertones unless you paint a large sample close to your window.
Oh.
And if this is a room, if you own this home, you want to do it once, do it right.
Yeah.
Don't make my mistake. Paint it close to your window. Bethany, you're laughing because this is totally first world problems.
Well, that's not even why I'm laughing. I'm more laughing because I go to the paint store and I'm like, I don't know, I like this one. And I just grab it and slap it on the wall. I have never in my life painted multiple samples on the wall and saw how they like progressed through the day. Like that's just a level of patience I do not have. I'm just like, I like this blue. It looks good. Up it goes.
Well, you know what? When you and Dennis move, I'm going to highly, highly recommend that you go and buy the $2 sample at your paint store.
Yeah.
It's going to be like $8. It's totally worth it to not buy a whole gallon of paint and to make the mistake that I did.
I was recently watching some show. It wasn't a reality show. It was like fiction. And I think it was Ghosts. And this family moves into, you know, this old, old house. And there's some scene that happens. And in the background, you can just see there's a bare wall with like four different paint swatches painted on it. And I was like, God, everyone does that but me. Like my sister's done it. I've seen it in her house. I'm like, this is a thing people do. I never test the hair color on a hidden swatch of my head. I never test the carpet cleaner on a hidden swatch of the carpet. I just go for it. And if it ruins it, it ruins it. But I just don't have time to wait and see. I'm a very busy woman. I have naps to take.
I always wonder, it's even when you buy a new lotion or new makeup, it's like, test this on the inside of your wrist. I'm like, who has time for that? I open up the packaging and I put that lipstick on my lip.
Exactly. I'm panicked all the time. I don't have the time to just sit for a second and wait for things. No, never.
Talk to me about your space buns. They look hella cute.
Oh, thank you. Here's the thing. It is warm outside.
Yeah, yeah.
And it is warm and also humid. And so my hair just won't do anything. Gentle listener, if you are someone who has a slight wave to your hair, this weather is not your weather. And it's also like having a limp feather boa hanging around your neck all the time. So, and I'm sick of just a bun and whatever. Yeah. So I just threw them up. Are they the best look for me? No. But are they working today? That's what they're going to do.
No, Bethany, they are the best look for you. I'm disagreeing with you. They're really, really cute. I think everybody should embrace the space buns.
I'm all about them.
Yeah, they're more interesting than a ponytail.
Yeah.
They're like a little funky.
Yeah.
And people will stop and be like, hey, cool buns, man.
Hey, I like your buns. And then I look at them and I go, which ones? My buns are up here. And I point to my eyes. And then it's like, confusing because actually they're way above my eye level. But, you know, I like to yell at people on the street.
But they're both gluten free. But
all right, Kathleen, let me paint a picture for you.
Okay, my canvas is blank. Go ahead and paint on it.
Now, in June of 2007, the iPhone was released for the first time.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh, okay.
But in February of 2007, people are using phones like the Nokia N95. It's that clunky one with the big screen where the keyboard slid down out of it.
Yes, I never had that one. By 2007, I was into the Blackberries.
Yes.
Yeah.
Do you remember which Blackberry you had?
It was pink. and it was all about BBMing people.
Okay. I had a BlackBerry Pearl.
Oh.
So it had a little button in the middle, and I could text on that thing without looking at my keys. Like, I could text one-handed, no eyes. I love that thing.
Oh, my goodness.
We were also using the Motorola Razr.
Yes. Every character on Gossip Girl had the Razr.
Because you could angrily smack it closed.
Yes.
When you hung up on your stupid friend.
Every time I think of the Razr, I think of Blair Waldorf, like, angrily texting Chuck. She knows that he's cheating or something.
Because I definitely know who that Chuck character is. I know exactly what you're talking about, and he deserved it.
It was Dan. Dan was Gossip Girl, everybody.
Kathleen, we got a negative review and an angry email because you ruined Gossip Girl for someone.
Bethany, it's been 15 years, okay? It's okay to spoil it. Guess what? Jaws eats people. E.T. never gets to really phone home. Or does he? I don't know if I've ever seen that movie.
Okay, we also had like the LG chocolate. We had the Palm Treo, the Samsung Blackjack. Just awesome, awesome phones.
The chocolate series.
You could back your car over these phones and they would survive.
Yeah, I had a friend who folded up his flip phone once, dropped it in a cup of beer, chugged the beer, and then called his mom after.
Yeah, you had fun friends. Your friends were real weird. So also in February of 2007, 16-year-old Courtney Kuykendall said her cell phone started sending texts to her friends by itself.
Wow.
So her friends would be getting these texts and they would text her saying, Courtney, why did you just text me the word gay? Which for like 2007 totally tracks.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
Courtney was like, I didn't send you anything. That was the first warning sign. Then the Kuykendall family, as well as a relative of theirs, their family, and then their neighbors and that family, also started receiving strange calls, as were, you know, everyone in the Kuykendall family.
Yeah, yeah.
The calls were saying threatening things in this scary, scratchy voice. And it was saying things like, you're going to die. We're going to murder you.
What?
Awful stuff.
I mean, what would you do if you got that call today from an unknown number? I don't even pick up numbers. I don't pick up unknown numbers.
No, I don't either. What would I do? I mean, I think I'd have to pay for one of those services that looks up phone numbers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
What would you do?
If somebody called me and said, I'm going to kill you, and let's say I picked up by accident for an unknown number, I don't know. I would be freaked out, and then I'd probably do nothing for a while unless they started coming again.
Yeah, because anyone who watches true crime knows that by and large, if this happens and you go to the police are like, well, nothing we can do. Which
actually,
is horrible.
Or like, mm-hmm. I guess in that sort of situation, I would find out if it's like there are certain states where you need permission to record phone calls from both parties.
Yeah.
And then there are some states where you only need one person.
I think New Jersey is a one party state.
Yeah. A single consent state for recording phone calls. Then I would start recording everything.
I think I would record whether or not it was a one party consent state or two.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? True. Okay.
Okay. So the family said that these calls would come in at all hours of the day and night. They would come around the clock. The person would threaten to kill their children. They would threaten to kill their grandparents, their pets. They would threaten to blow up the school or threaten to slit the family's throats.
Good God.
It's awful. Then voicemails started to arrive. The voicemails would be, again, threatening messages.
Yeah.
They would text. I didn't know this was a thing you could do. You could text a landline. Did you know you could do this?
No, I didn't know that. Every time I text a landline by accident, I think I get a message back that's like, this is a landline. They have not received your message.
So it might not work anymore, but they were on the Today Show and like they played the audio of a text that was sent to their landline. So it was like a Siri type voice would come on and say, text to landline message. We are going to start coming every night. You just might not know when we're looking at you. And so like not even your landline is safe.
Oh my God.
Courtney's boyfriend got a message on his phone saying, we're going to assault your girlfriend or insinuating they already had.
Oh my God.
They also seemed to know the family schedules and when the kids were home alone.
Ugh.
So they ended up calling this person restricted because that's what would show up on their phones whenever this person called.
Yeah.
They started calling and saying that they knew what the family was doing, what they were wearing, and where they were.
Oh my God.
So now what do you do, Kathleen?
At that point, I mean, this is 2007. Now I'd be like, okay, I've installed Ring cameras in every inch of my house.
Mm-hmm.
I've changed the locks. I've put smart locks on my house. But in 2007, what do you do? I don't know. I would add extra locks to my door and put in like motion sensored floodlights or something.
It's funny you say that you would like up your security. So
yeah.
The family got a new security system. And like almost immediately after installing it, they got a call from Restricted saying, I know your security code. It's awful. It's awful.
Okay.
So finally, the family goes to the police and they explain what had been going on and they ask for help.
Yeah.
When they got home, they had a voicemail that was a recording of the conversation they had just had with the police. Your mouth is wide open.
I know. Note to self, make noise. This is a podcast.
How scary?
Right?
You go
this
in.
This is when I move. This is when I pack up everything. I move. I find somebody who can forge documents. I get a new name and my family and I move across the country.
Because that is so upsetting to get a voicemail that is the conversation you just had with the police. That is like a level of chills running down your spine that I don't know if I would ever be able to survive.
See, I believe that this is some sort of inside player. I mean, it's not, it would be so much easier to justify this if it were an iPhone.
Yes.
Because
why
there's an app that's recording, but there were no apps back then.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there was Snake on your phone and I think that was it.
Yeah.
You know, and like Snake wasn't even an app. It was just a game that came on the interface already. And there wasn't even such a thing as an interface.
Yeah. I mean, you had your phones and what was on your phone was on your phone.
Like, yeah, that was it.
Maybe you had decent internet, but not every phone did. So it was hard to say.
I had to use my internet as emergency only,
you know,
on my BlackBerry because it was going to charge you like outrageous things. It was emergency only internet.
Yeah. And it was like novelty internet too. It's like took forever to pull up and you didn't have a ton of control over what you were looking up.
Yeah.
So, the phones also started turning on and off by themselves. And Kathleen, maybe the most egregious thing, the ringtones started changing on their own. So maybe you had like, I don't know, not thong song. What was a good 2007 bop that we had?
Let me tell you about the young folks.
Sure. Yes.
Always on the inside.
Yeah. So your ringtone is like that song that's been in every commercial. And you like spend, $2.99 on that ringtone. And then all of a sudden the ringtone gets changed to just like, I'm going to kill you. I would die.
I mean, I would throw my phone out the window but I'd look first, make sure it didn't hit anybody on the way down, you know?
Absolutely. Okay. So the family goes to Sprint, who is their carrier. Sprint claimed that they were unaware of any technology that would allow this kind of activity, right?
Yeah.
And both the Sprint and the local police seemed at first to just pass it off as a hoax.
Okay.
Because when the local police traced the calls, most, if not all of them, were coming from where, Kathleen, do you think?
Maybe from like a different family member's phone number. Like they were calling each other.
Close.
Yeah.
They were all coming from Courtney, the 16-year-old's phone.
Okay.
So
Courtney is a real biatch. She is the girl who cried wolf.
This is what they start to think. They start to think she's 16. She wants attention. She's pulling this prank. She's taking advantage of the fact that her parents don't really know how to use cell phones. She's figured out a way, right?
Mm-hmm.
But Courtney was adamant that it was not her. And The family took Courtney's phone away.
Oh my God.
But the calls kept coming anyway.
Huh.
And one of the things that a lot of people say is that, like, they would turn their phones off, but they would still get calls coming through. That's not that big of a surprise because a lot of places that require a lot of security,
yeah,
they won't just have you turn your phone off. They'll have you take your phone battery out because if you've ever like been in a movie theater and then your phone is turned off, but an alarm goes off anyway, you know that your phone's not ever really off.
Yeah. When you turn it on theater mode or whatever, it's not really off. It's just quote unquote not making noise until it does make noise.
Yeah, exactly. So all of this, like, mentioning what the people were wearing, mentioning they knew where the people were, referencing phone conversations, recording conversations they'd had in different rooms. Mm-hmm. This led the mom of the Kuykendalls, Heather, to come to the conclusion that they were watching, like that restricted was watching them through their camera phones, listening and recording them through the family's phones as well. And they seem to be using the family members' phones to track their movements.
It seems far-fetched for 2007, but really anything is possible.
Mm-hmm.
But why target this one family? Why not target the government or something?
That's a great question. And the interesting thing is that the three different families that were all targeted by this person, they all were connected somehow. So it was the Kuykendalls, and then it was, I think, the Prices, who were, I think, Mom Heather's sister and her family. Yeah. And then the other family, I think it was the McKays, lived like across the street from the Kuykendalls. So these all families like all knew each other. So it was someone who had a beef with like one person initially and then decided to like torment all of them is what it seems like.
Okay.
And the big thing that, if people know this story, the big thing that gets quoted is that the neighbor, Andrea McKay, was one day slicing limes in her kitchen. Yeah. And she got a call from Restricted saying,
"I prefer lemons."
No.
Which is awful.
I see. Okay, now I got to know the setup of this neighborhood because I'd be like, where's Courtney's bedroom?
Yeah.
Does she have a pair of binoculars?
And that's what the police were thinking too. Like, and if you look online at the story, it's interesting because it's 2007, but in many ways, it's like, it's pre-digital because so many of the websites that reported on this story, the link is broken. It's no longer there. Like it is tough to find. I was able to find articles and like Reddit posts, but the original news article written about this from Washington is no longer up. And so you're reading a lot of articles that are referencing that article, but you can't actually find it.
You know, I think about this a lot because to save old news articles like this, you need more cloud power.
Yeah.
You know, companies that report on the news, but then more cloud power equals more CO2 in the environment because you need big machines to run these clouds.
Yeah.
And at what point, like, what determines a news story to be not important enough that the cloud no longer needs to save it?
Yeah. And I mean, we have the Wayback Machine that sort of trolls all over the place and like copies things, but some of those links are broken, you know, it doesn't always get everything. And if it was never printed to begin with, it's just gone.
Like at my old job where I was writing articles about celebrity news and like viral videos and stuff like that, at some point the company decided that anything that was more than 3 years old was no longer like relevant anymore. And so all of these things that I'd spent so much time writing, I had no more online portfolio. It just went poof, deleted.
So it's so frustrating, but you also can understand. That's why I'm still like, I need everything written. I need it all printed. I write in a physical journal. I, you know, I need these physical things because at least I know they're there.
Yeah. No, I get it. I get it.
So the family traded in their phones. They tried changing their phone numbers. Nothing worked. Anytime they got a new phone, Restricted was able to find it and call it. Anytime they got a new phone number, Restricted was able to find it and call it.
Wow.
So this is what ended up happening. Mm-hmm. Seattle police brought in the FBI and the Department of Homeland Security. And that is kind of where the story drops off.
Maybe they found something.
A lot of people think, well, we'll go into theories, but there's one theory that I don't believe. There were, by the way, there were never any arrests, They just all kind of fell apart.
Yeah.
But there's one theory online that around this time, the FBI was testing listening in on people's conversations as a way to combat terrorism.
And then someone's 16-year-old kid was like, cool, I can use this technology too. Well, I have a crush on this girl named Courtney. Yeah. Let me terrorize her whole family.
I mean, one person online believed that the FBI was like targeting random people in the U.S. to test this technology on. And that they were testing it on Courtney's family. And the person is like, that's why when the FBI got involved, the report stopped because they realized, oh, it's one of us. But why would the FBI be like, I'm going to kill your family?
Yeah.
Like, I don't think that that's what they would be doing with that test, right?
Unless you have like some newbie, like some 21-year-old fresh out of college kid that's like, I'm going to have fun with this. My boss has said to do whatever.
I'm going to really make this my own. I'm really going to shine on this. I'm gonna put my own stamp on it.
Do you think that like when the FBI and Homeland Security got a hold of this story, they were like, okay, who's in charge of this family? And they're like, Steve, the new hire. Get him in here, Steve.
He's just in a broom closet as his office and he's just got like blacklight posters everywhere.
Yeah. Yeah, Steve, we told you to do what you want with this, but you took it too far. Okay, Steve?
You took it too far. And Steve's like, I know.
I know. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry.
Don't transfer me. I'll do better.
So, like I said, Sprint said they didn't even know how someone was doing this. But at the time, people online were like, this is actually super easy. So one possibility is that someone cloned her phone, which is like a thing that you could do.
What?
You can clone a phone. I don't know how it works, but it's a thing you can do.
All right.
It seems like, and this is from the website, The Register, it's like a tech news website. They said, quote, as for the hostile calls all seeming to come from the unfortunate Courtney, the cloning attacks in which a subscriber's identity is copied over the air from their phone and then used fraudulently are ordinary criminal stuff. And the local cops really ought to be up on that by now. They also said that there were some like spy software packages even back then that were available commercially that were marketed to people who thought maybe their spouse was cheating.
Yeah.
But you could definitely use it to mess up someone's phone and spy on them.
I believe it.
Yeah.
It seems a little far-fetched to us, the normal consumer, this type of technology back then.
Yeah.
Because like YouTube was sort of just kicking off and
yeah,
you know, but, okay, I get it. I buy that.
Yeah. And some people on Reddit also had interesting ideas because ultimately, you know, Occam's razor, the simplest solution is usually the right one.
Yeah.
So one thing that people were mentioning a lot is that this person sort of leaned into the idea that I'm tracking you over your cell phone. They could have been sort of doing that a little bit, but also good old fashioned stalker technology, mm-hmm. which is being around their house, looking in windows so they can see that you're chopping a lime, looking in your windows so you can see what they're wearing. You know, at one point, one of the families heard someone banging on their house in the middle of the night. So this person was clearly close.
I think that's the most terrifying thing that could ever happen.
Completely. It's almost worse that they know where you live.
Yeah.
Having someone who works at a phone company, like knowing someone at Sprint who could get you information. They also said, oh my God, Kathleen, I'm looking in Zoom right now and I see myself out of the corner of my eye and I turned my head and I forgot I was wearing space buns.
Oh my
so
God.
I just saw something behind me come out from behind my head as I turned my head and I thought it was a person and I just scared the hell out of myself. It was really just a space bun.
Did you think that there was a ghost behind you?
I thought someone was like leaning out and they knew where I lived. Yeah, so a lot of people are like, it's pretty easy to clone a phone at this time.
Yeah.
It's pretty easy to, if you know who they are, to stalk them and make them think that you know information. And also, do we know that they knew the things they said they knew? For example, when they said, I know your security code, did they say the security code or did they just say, I know it?
That is the oldest trick in the book.
Yeah.
I know your secret.
Yep.
And I side with you. And if you want to talk about it, let's just talk about it. And you don't actually know their secret. And then they just tell you.
And then they just tell you. There's also a theory. I think the cops believed that Courtney could have accidentally installed some sort of bug on her phone when she downloaded ringtones from MySpace.
Oh.
Which is, God bless, 2007.
I never age on MySpace. It still says I'm 19.
And you, how, who are, do you know who your top eight are still?
Oh, probably nobody that I talk to at all.
Yeah. Yeah. It's fun that way. So ultimately, like, we don't really know what happens, but I think it's pretty telling that as soon as the FBI and Homeland Security stepped in, it all stopped, or it seems to have stopped.
Yeah.
I think it's someone who knew Courtney, figured out how to clone a cell phone or, you know, install some sort of awful spyware. Mm-hmm. And when things got really serious, they knocked it off because they're like, oh, crap, they involved Homeland Security. I'm not doing this anymore.
Yeah. Peace. I'm out of here.
But in the meantime, it traumatized these three families for about 3 or 4 months of this thing happening. And, you know, none of us knew really much about how phones worked at the time. And so it just seemed like this terrifying, mysterious landscape where we didn't feel safe anymore. And that's the story of the Kuykendall phone stalker. It's so scary.
If that were me, I don't know if I would have the career that I have today, because I don't know if I would be able to trust technology after experiencing something like that.
Totally. You feel so invaded because our phones are such a part of us now. There was this really interesting comment somebody made on Metafilter, I think. This is the user How Far said, it's both interesting and frightening that the old adage, treat any mic as an open mic, which you should, would seem to be becoming universally true. Treat your phone mic as an open mic at all times because you do not know who's listening in, whether it be Amazon or the government or someone who has figured out how to mess up your phone.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I know nothing about technology, by the way, so I'm sure tech people are just like rolling their eyes at how stupid I am with all of this.
No.
It just seems like that's probably a thing you can do.
No, Bethany, listen, there's a lot of fine print on all the apps that we download and nobody reads it. So it's a possibility.
And you know I love a third party app.
But you have to be careful. We've been over this.
Yeah.
So I recently started doing yard work in my favorite pair of Rothy slip-on sneakers.
Oh, that's perfect.
And they're getting dirty because I've been doing yard work and work around my mom's house wearing them. And so I've put this one pair in the wash in the past month at least 4 different times.
Yeah.
Bethany, they look like they are brand spanking new.
Rothys are amazing for that reason. You put them on, it feels like you're putting on a slipper.
Yeah.
Because it like molds to your foot right away. I don't know how they do it. And so it feels so good. And then, yeah, you get grass stains on them. You get dirt on them. You get, I don't know, blood on them. I don't know what you're doing in your free time. You can wash that blood right off.
Have you seen, Bethany, they have this new style called the square wrap?
Wait, show me.
It's sort of like a ballet flat, but it has this really cool string that wraps around your ankle. And also the material on the shoe is mesh. So it's breathable in the summer. It is right up your alley. I can see you wearing this style.
And the reason that these shoes are so amazing is because they're made from recycled water bottles. And so they're good for the earth and you can dress them up or down. But that's also why they're so machine washable. I wear my loafers all the time. I wear them to run errands. I wear them when I'm going out somewhere. I use them for travel because they fold up really, really nicely. And I've had them for years and they still look incredible.
I recently went to the store to just try on a style that I wanted to see what the size was. First of all, there was a line to get in the store. Second of all, everybody waiting in line was already wearing a pair of Rothys and they were there to get a second pair of Rothys.
Absolutely, because they're amazing shoes.
Yes.
So your new favorite shoes are waiting. Discover the versatile styles you can wear absolutely anywhere and get $20 off your first purchase at rothys.com/taste.
That's rothys.com/taste for $20 off of your first order. Summertime, when it's hot out, it is not the time for big, chunky jewelry.
No.
And I've really been moving away from costume jewelry and into very small, refined pieces. And that is why I wear at least one piece from OrateNewYork.com every single day.
Orate was founded by two friends when one got a green finger from a ring she paid a lot of money for.
The worst.
And they started talking about how they were just really sick of the traditional jewelry market. it. So they make really high quality gold jewelry, but they cut out that middleman that everyone's like, why is there a middleman hiking up my price? And so they're able to sell really high quality pieces for a much lower price.
And all of their gold is 100% recycled, sustainably handmade, casted, polished, and perfected by seventh generation craftsmen. So every design goes through a very rigorous five-step testing process, and every piece that I've ever gotten from Orate, much of which was purchased with my own hard-earned money, every piece is beautiful.
I wonder if one of the steps in the five-step testing process is like an old Dickensian street urchin biting down on it, like the movies where they bite down on a coin and going like, oh, he's a good one. And then they're like, well, that one passes the test.
My tooth broke, but the ring didn't.
And this is so cool too. If you want a piece of jewelry, but you're not ready to splurge all in one go, or if you want to space out those payments a little bit, Orate has teamed up with Accrue Savings so you can enjoy the option of saving up for your dream jewelry. It's a creditless way to save and buy.
So for 20% off of your first Orate purchase, go to oratenewyork.com/taste and then use the promo code TASTE.
That's 20% off with no minimum spend, and they rarely have discounts as high as 20% off, so we encourage you to shop now while it's going on. This is the best offer out there, and it's exclusively for Acquired Taste listeners. So once again, go to AURATENewYork.com/taste and use the promo code TASTE to get 20% off.
So Bethany,
yes,
we all know that fast fashion is not great for the environment.
Yes.
But if we're being realistic in terms of budgets and what you have available to you at your local retail stores,
yeah,
sometimes you have to buy fast fashion.
I talked a couple weeks ago about like I was buying like this sustainable piece of clothing and it ended up costing so much money and it bled all over the place and it just was awful. And I was like, well, that's $150 I spent on a pair of sustainable pants and I can't do that all the time.
Yeah. And you get pissed at yourself because you're like, why didn't I just go to the Gap or Target or somewhere and get a pair of pants that wasn't going to cost me all of this agita and also like an entire paycheck.
Yeah, right.
And I am certainly not here to rule with an iron fist and chastise anyone who has ever purchased anything that wasn't considered slow fashion.
Sure.
I get it. And fast fashion oftentimes is more accessible than slow fashion. So let's just talk about things that you can do, you know, small steps when you're buying fast fashion or really when you're buying anything to see if it's going to be something of quality that'll last you longer than one wear.
Sure.
Earlier this year, Vogue interviewed some sustainability experts and they had some really interesting tips. Even if the item is fast fashion, you have to ask yourself, would you wear it 30 or more times?
30. Okay, 30. That's a good question. Ooh, that's a really good question.
Yeah. Marielle Turhart, she is a photographer, a writer, and a slow fashion expert. She said this to Vogue, one of the easiest ways that I have curbed excessive shopping is asking myself this simple question. Can I see myself wearing this 30 times? If the answer is yes, then I buy it. Of course, there are exceptions to the rule when you're buying something for a specific type of party.
Sure.
But really, you need to ask yourself, am I going to wear this a lot? Or is this a one and done type situation? Because if it is, then maybe you need to rethink what you're going to wear to that party.
That's such a good point because 30 is such a high number, but not unbelievably high. You know, it's not like, will you wear this 500 times? I know some people do like, will you wear it one time for every dollar it costs? Which, you know, is also a good, which is a good one. But like 30 feels realistic while also holding you to a standard.
I think about the items that I love the most and I have easily worn them 30 times.
Fully.
You know?
Yeah. If you feel good in it, you're wearing it all the time.
So author of The Conscious Closet, Elizabeth L. Klein, she also spoke to Vogue and she said, secondhand is an easy and affordable way to be more sustainable. Reusing is much greener than recycling and shopping secondhand is a great way to afford higher quality clothing that lasts longer at a price that's more accessible. She said, if you, and this is hard for me because I buy a lot of my secondhand stuff online.
Yeah.
She said that if you want to make your thrifting habit even more sustainable, shop at your local thrift stores.
Yeah.
Because online shopping, even for secondhand, can rack up CO2 emissions and packaging waste.
That makes sense, too, because you also want to be supporting your local businesses. Yeah. And you know, if like Goodwill, it, you know, it goes for a higher purpose, and you know, local vintage stores are just such cool places to be. And yes. I would be so bummed if the ones around me all closed.
I have never been into any of the thrift stores in Hoboken.
You haven't?
No, Bethany.
Why not?
I don't know. I need to walk in and check to see what they're all about, because you could get to know the thrift stores, the people who own it in your neighborhood. And if they know you're on the lookout for a certain type of cut or fabric you really like to wear, they can start looking out for you and pulling pieces.
Yep.
I didn't even think about this before I was writing this article, but I've never been in to any of my local thrift shops. That is sad.
You should go today. It is a sunny day.
Yeah.
It is a sunny, warm day. You go out and grab yourself a cup of coffee and go into your local vintage store and, you know, get yourself a $65 NSYNC t-shirt.
But no, Bethany, I'm sorry. I'm not paying $65 for an NSYNC t-shirt.
Yeah, no.
So my favorite news science source, is newscientist.com.
Yeah.
Talk about that a lot. And they have an article out recently called Sustainable Fashion, How to Cut the Environmental Cost of Your Clothing by Graham Lawton. And they talked to a sustainable textiles expert and professor in Finland. Her name is Kirsi Nanamaki. And so this is what she says. She suggests that you go through what you already have, because people forget what they have.
It's true. Yeah.
I can't tell you how many times I've purchased a sweater and I already own something exactly like it because it was buried in my winter clothing box or something
you
like that.
You famously have two chartreuse sweaters.
Well, almost three, Bethany. I almost had three.
Which is a very specific color to have two of.
I mean, chartreuse is my favorite color.
Yeah.
It's a weird favorite color to have,
no,
but
it's
it
beautiful.
Is. What is something that you have more than one item of that you could probably just have one?
Button-down shirts, like a white,
yeah,
white oversized button-down shirts. Because yeah, it's not like I'm wearing them every day. I certainly have time to wash the one in between, you know, I wear them like once every couple weeks. I don't need seven. Mm-hmm.
I have a bunch of ones that are sort of discolored. And what I think I'm going to do is, instead of donating them, I'm going to dye them and then try and get some more life out of them.
That's a great idea.
It's also a great way to change the look of something you own, like a little bit of dye.
Yeah.
And then it feels like a new item if it's a color that isn't in anymore. She also said, consider using flea markets so you can swap with people, like do a clothing swap.
Cool.
Or go to a flea market and sell some of your stuff to a secondhand clothing dealer. My friends and I have done a handful of times clothing swaps where we all show up and bring stuff that we no longer want, and then we swap and we get new, quote unquote, new stuff, but we just have traded.
I used to have this friend who was also tall and we were the exact same size.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I mourn the end of that friendship because I lost out on a lot of cool clothes.
Yeah. No, I believe it. You know, this last one, I will say though, I didn't go to this last swap, but I did give some of my clothes to someone else to bring because nobody is my size in my friend group. And I didn't want to go and just marvel at everybody looking so good in the clothes that I used to fit into.
Yeah, it's tough. It's certainly a tough thing. You have to curate a group of friends who are all roughly the size you are, or stick to shoes and jewelry.
I recently saw this thing on Instagram. I thought it was such a good idea. This girl got a bunch of her friends together and they took a road trip around their area to all the different Goodwills. And they did it for a whole day. It was the Goodwill road trip where they planned out like six different Goodwills that they stopped at to see what they could find in all of these different areas.
That's so fun. And sometimes you get overwhelmed going into a vintage store because it's like, I have to try on these pants and blah, blah, blah. But if you really dedicate time to it, then it's a thing. Now it's an event and you're there for a reason. So you make the time to go through the pants and try them on, and you never know.
You pile into the car, get a coffee, you know, you're chatting, you go to one store, another store, get some lunch, go to another store. There is an account, Bethany, on Instagram called Palm Beach Thrifters.
Okay.
It is my new favorite Instagram account. It makes me want to go down to Palm Beach, get a U-Haul, visit all of their shops, fill up my U-Haul with clothes and furniture, and drive it home. It is because Palm Beach is notoriously a really stylish, very wealthy area.
Ooh, I'm looking at it right now.
And also, I believe, like, an older population, right?
Yeah.
Like, people who are older, and I know this is a big generalization, but, like, people my mom's age, they don't have the wherewithal to, like, resell their stuff. They just don't know how to do it. They don't know how to use Facebook Marketplace, so they donate their stuff. At Palm Beach Thrifters on Instagram, they find the absolute best stuff, like antique couches with fringe on the bottom and amazing wicker furniture that's been painted in cool colors. And I'm just, like, so jealous of people that live in areas with really good Goodwills.
I'm on the Instagram account right now. This is like, the pottery they find is amazing. It's just
amazing.
Like, oh my God, these gorgeous lamps they have.
Yeah.
A hot pink guitar.
Maybe in your local area, gentle listener, wherever you may live, start an Instagram account that's like Wisconsin Goodwills or New Jersey Goodwills. And every weekend, make a trip and post it, and you can start getting sponsorships or something. I don't know how that works.
I don't know how internet works.
I think that would be a really cool idea. Your local area, start posting the cool stuff you find at Goodwill.
Totally. Totally. Oh, now I want to go to a vintage store. Now I'm excited about life again.
You and I, Bethany, I have a car. We could visit every Goodwill in New Jersey. Notoriously, there was a Goodwill in Glen Rock, I think it was, where Diane Keaton made an appearance.
I love her. I love her style.
She was filming a movie in the area. New Scientist also talked to Jackie Love. She is the director of innovation and sustainability at the UK Fashion and Textile Association. She said that the majority of negative impacts from fashion actually occur post-sale.
Okay.
So it's not the making of the fast fashion. It is the throwing away of the fast fashion.
Yeah. Okay.
So it's really a big part of cleaning up, you know, landfills filled with fast fashion has a lot to do with the consumer. So you have to think about how you launder things, how you take care of these fast fashion items that you own. Are they crumpled and piled in a corner in your room where when you're going through, I know me too, when you're going through a pile of clothing, something might rip, or maybe the fabric gets sun rot because your closet has a window in it that isn't properly covered up. They say that you need to wash your clothes sparingly, avoid tumble drying and iron only when necessary, because then you reduce the amount of water, energy, and detergent in terms of keeping your clothing clean.
Okay. Gotcha.
I have something very exciting coming my way.
Okay.
As a thank you for all of the work that I've been doing at her house, my mom bought me a smart washer dryer.
Oh my gosh, Kathleen.
Yeah. And washer dryer, the one that we have here in our condo, is probably 20 years old. It was original with the condo. So this is something we knew we'd have to replace anyway. And there was a bunch of sales over the weekend. So at a Memorial Day sale, my mom was kind enough to buy it for us. And Bethany, it has built-in intelligence where it can tell what kind of fabric and how much you have in the washing machine to adjust the amount of water and how much drying it needs. Like, it's really, really smart.
Is it one of the ones that sings a song when it's done?
It sure does.
It might be the same one my mom and sister have. It's so cool. It's just like,
yes. Do they have LGs?
I think so.
Yeah. Yeah. And the LG notoriously, like, gets the best reviews. And I needed something stackable. So LG has, like, a great stackable front loader that is certified, like, asthma and allergy friendly too, so you can really take, like, a lot of allergens out of your clothing and fabrics.
Oh, I'm so jealous.
But I can't tell you how this is going to be a blessing in terms of the amount of water that I use, because I will throw something in the washing machine, wash it, and then I forget about it. 2 days later, I open the machine and, like, a woof.
Ugh.
Just a big whiff of moldy air comes at me, and then I have to wash it again.
Yeah.
And I'm wasting all that water.
Yeah, you definitely have to stay on top of that.
So now it'll ping my phone, and my phone will be like, hey, you need to get this and put this in the dryer.
But you'll also hear the song, and you'll know, like, beep, beep, beep. It goes on for like 30 seconds. It's crazy.
So when you are shopping fast fashion, if there is something that's cotton, take the fabric, crumple it up in your hand like you're crumpling a piece of paper, squeeze it, and then let it go. If the cotton actually looks like a crumpled piece of paper, it's been treated with a chemical so it can keep its shape. And as soon as you wash it, that's going to go away. Don't buy it.
Okay, wait. So you crumple it up, and if when you're done crumpling, it looks like it's been crumpled, don't buy it.
Yes. I mean, and obviously it's not going to lay flat, but if it looks like you, if it looks like a crumpled piece of paper after you take a fistful of that fabric and squeeze it, and you know, do you know that like sort of like cardboardy cotton that I'm talking about that you get at fast fashion stores?
Yep.
If it stays looking really, really crumpled, then don't buy it. It's been treated with a chemical.
Oh my gosh. What a lie they're telling us.
I know. Hold the material up to the light. If you can see right through it, then it means that there is a low thread count. And in general, that means that there it's like lower in quality. This doesn't work with jeans, you know,
because
jeans, you know, technically the thicker the material, the better. But now that we have a world of stretchy jeans, that doesn't always compute, you know, use your sensibilities. But in the summer, unless it's like a see-through over the bathing suit type of thing, hold it up to the light and see if you can see through it.
I've also been told, though, to do that with like natural fabrics, where if you can see through them, it also means they're breathable.
Yes, linen.
Yeah, maybe that's just linen. Yeah.
I recently bought, and I know I shouldn't shop here, but I was in a pinch. I bought two dresses from Zara.
Okay.
They're the same cut, different fabrics. Bethany, one fabric is fabulous. I've worn the dress 3 times already. The second fabric, even though it's the same cut, same dress, it is terrible and I have to return it.
What's so different about it?
The feel, just the quality, how it hangs on my body. And one fabric holds the seam better than the others. Mm. So one fabric, the thread isn't pilling, and the other fabric, like there's all these little threads sticking out.
Oh my gosh.
Yes. So, I mean, even within fast fashion, there are still ways to look to buy better quality items.
Okay.
Seams. So say you're buying a blouse and it's seamed down the side. If you pull ever so slightly at that seam, if there are holes or gaps in that seam that you can see light through, you probably shouldn't buy it. That means the seam is going to come undone probably after one wearing.
That makes sense.
As zippers too, Bethany, you know when you have like a pair of dressy pants and you slip them on and then they zipper at the hip or something like that?
Yep.
You want to make sure that it's a metal zipper. And also, something that I never thought of is that the zipper should be the same height as where the pants, the waistband ends. Or, you know, if it's a strapless dress, where the strapless dress ends, like the zipper needs to come all the way to the top. Because going back and thinking about it, I've definitely had zippers that were maybe a few centimeters down from where the dress actually ended, like the zipper ends first.
Yeah.
That is a sign that it's not gonna last.
What about the kind where it has like a hook and eye closure at the top instead?
That is different. That is totally different.
Okay.
Because it helps hold everything together. But if there's no hook and eye closure and the zipper doesn't come all the way up, then you need to rethink about purchasing that garment.
Oh, man. This is all very good information.
Also, the zipper should probably be the same color as the garment, because if it's not, it means that they were just worried about quantity and not quality.
I also don't like zippers that are those tiny zippers where instead of like a handle on the zipper, it's like a little dewdrop. Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know what you're talking about.
If there's a seam where it's like, again, a pair of pants where the zipper goes up the side of your leg, like the up your hip, and then it hits like a waistband seam and then continues up, it always, for some reason, gets stuck on that waistband seam and can't continue, and it will eventually break.
And you know, a lot of times those little dewdrop zippers, that little dewdrop piece is metal, which throws you off. But if you look at the actual zipper, like, you know, the actual zipper mechanisms, those are plastic. And plastic zippers, they just don't last as long.
Oh my gosh.
You need to look at the hems of the items, because there will be fast fashion items that are sewn better than others.
Okay.
So hems on pants and skirts, they should have a hem of up to 2 inches. Blouses should have at least 1 inch. If there's no hem, or if it's just a simple stitched bottom, it's going to lose its shape.
Yeah. And there's also no room for, like, if you need to have it taken down, Like if you're yep. tall, yeah. you're screwed.
And if you are buying something that's stretchy, sort of like a bodycon dress, stretch the fabric. Does it go back into shape, or do you kind of see the marks where your fingers stretched it a little bit? You know what I'm talking yep. about, where it puckers, where your fingers have been?
Yep.
Then you shouldn't buy it.
Okay. Oh my gosh.
I know. It's, okay. And then how many times have you been in a fast fashion store where you try something on and the fit is just not right? Like say a short sleeve blouse, for instance, and the sleeves are too tight and you can't really move your shoulders back or forth, but the collar is weirdly big.
Yeah.
And the bottom of it is sort of boxy. And you say to yourself, wow, I need to lose some weight.
Sure. This is somehow too big and also too small.
It is not your body. It is cut very poorly.
I've also found that if you take the same, let's say, shirt mm-hmm. in the same size and try yeah. on two different of the same,
yep.
one often fits differently.
Totally.
Because they're just totally. Made poorly.
And I've purchased fast fashion items where I get one home and I'm like, I love it. And then you buy another one online. Yeah. So you have a backup and it's the size is totally different.
Yep. It's so strange. Like there's no consistency between even the mm-mm. same color, size and fabric of one item.
And even in a store, you can hold two same sizes up next to each other and you see that they're totally different.
Yeah, it's wild.
Wild. Natural fabrics are always better. They're always more breathable, except for cotton, Bethany, because 100% cotton is going to shrink. It'll absolutely shrink after you wash it. Cotton should be 80% cotton, 20% something else, like polyester or nylon.
That bitch.
Or viscose, yeah. And threads. This is not something I've really ever thought of, but take a look at the stitching. Is there a lot of overlap where there shouldn't be overlap? Or is the thread on one side of the garment a different color than a thread on the other side? The threads really should match the fabric and the threads all over should match each other.
Okay. Yeah, mm-hmm. that's true. As someone who was sewing yesterday,
yeah.
I can tell you they should all be the same color even when your bobbin runs out of thread halfway through and you kept sewing and didn't realize it and now everything's gone to hell. You still gotta rewind that bobbin.
What were you sewing?
I was sewing a patch on the back of Dennis's jacket, and then also I have a shirt that I am obsessed with, my favorite t-shirt.
Yeah.
But every time I wear it in Ariel, it gets stuck in the fabric and it rips, and it was to the point where there was no shirt over my breasts. It was just shoulders and then hanging fabric.
Yeah.
So I had to take some fusible and some patches and like go underneath and behind and like stitch it all back together again.
If you're buying a jacket or a coat, like a blazer or something, it needs to have a seam down the back.
Down the back?
Down the back. Cheap manufacturers will skip the back seams because it removes a step when you're assembling a garment, which saves money. But that is a telltale sign that a blazer or a jacket, if it doesn't have a seam down the back, that it was made cheaply.
So like right down the center back or just at some yeah. point on the back?
Down the center of the back. Good blazers will have a seam down the back.
Gotcha. Okay.
And dress shirts, they need to have a yoke, Y-O-K-E, which is basically a seams at the shoulders. So I know it's hard to explain. You should Google it, but it'll fit poorly and it'll be uncomfortable if your dress shirt doesn't have a yoke.
Okay.
Patterns. If it looks like there's a pattern on the dress, make sure that the pattern on the front and the back match. And if the pockets match, because sometimes they don't match. And that is because there was a lack of quality control.
I don't know how often this still happens, but I know that yeah. when belts were big, like long shirts would come with belts already yes. on them. The belt was sewn at the side seams and there was no belt on the back.
Yes.
It was just
belt
on front.
Yes, I know what you're talking about.
I hate it. Or if it's like a pair of pants that are like
yeah.
faux leather on the front and stretchy yeah. cotton on the back.
I know.
Like, what? It's like Bob's Furniture where it's bonded leather everywhere you sit. It's like everything else is crap.
I once had a fast fashion item. It was sort of like a silky going out top from 2008, sure. You know, 2006, somewhere in there. Bethany, I had to let it soak in Tide and water for 3 weeks because no matter how many times I washed it, it smelled like fish.
What? That's awful.
And I didn't realize it. It was one of those where it was a silky baby doll, you know, it tied in the back yeah. and it was like spaghetti straps and tied around my breasts. And then buttonholes, like if before you buy something that's fast fashion, just make sure that the buttons stay on the holes, you know, and they don't just pop out yeah. at willy nilly, because that is really annoying.
Yeah, that happens too. That'll happen.
Mm-hmm. And that's all I got for you today. You know, don't beat yourself up if fast fashion is what you have and it's what's accessible to you and within your budget. Just try to be a little bit more mindful about the quality of the items you're buying within the fast fashion world.
Definitely. Kathleen, so I told you my mom just moved downsized houses.
Yeah.
And the first thing she wanted to make sure got moved to the new house was her solo stove. Now that she's been there for a few weeks, she's been sending us photos and videos of her and my stepdad sitting out in the back with their solo stove, drinking out of plastic cups because stuff isn't unpacked. But the most important thing is still there, the solo stove.
Bethany, I am 100% with your mom because as my ancestors have said for years and years and years, life's best moments happen around a roaring fire.
Ah, yes. I know. I've heard that phrase. And last week, Kathleen, when you were teaching us all how to tell good campfire stories, You definitely made sure we all knew you were sitting around your solo stove when you were telling us these campfire stories.
That's what I'm saying. If you want to have the best stay-at-home summer ever, get yourself a solo stove, invite your friends over, grab a drink, and then tap into their fears. But make sure you're sitting around your solo stove and then tell them a scary campfire story.
But if you want to have a summer on the go where you pack up all your friends into a van and you drive them out to the middle of nowhere and then you tap into their biggest fears, bring your solo stove, because guess what? The solo stove fire pit is able to be moved. It's portable and it's stainless steel constructed. It regulates airflow and burns more efficiently. So not only can you bring it with you, when you burn stuff in it, the smoke goes up and not out at you. You're not getting smoke in your eyes. Your clothes won't smell like a brand new campfire like they do when you try to burn things.
And it's really easy to start. You'll have a fire that's blazing within minutes. There's none of this like rubbing two sticks together and praying for the best, okay?
No praying involved.
Solo Stove is so confident that they offer a lifetime warranty and 30-day free return policy.
So do like my mom did and her friends did and Kathleen's mom did and Kathleen's friends did and my sister-in-law did. Get yourself a solo stove. And right now you can get big discounts on all fire pits during Solo Stove's summer sale.
Use the promo code TASTE at solostove.com for an extra $10 off.
That's solostove.com, promo code TASTE for $10 off on top of their incredible summer sale discounts.
But hurry, the summer sale ends on June 23rd.
Kathleen, I mentioned this in segment one, but I have this like shooting muscle pain on my left lower back and it hurts so bad and I don't know what I did to get it. Mm-hmm. I felt better yesterday because I took 30 minutes to like roll and then sit on a ball and like sit on the part where it hurt and then scream in pain but sitting on the ball the whole time and like I don't know what I did, but it's taking all of my focus. Has this ever happened to you where there's just like this localized mystery pain?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I get tennis elbow a lot when I paint too many rooms at once.
That, I mean, at least then you know what caused
it. You know.
You know, you can point to it and be like, welp, but the room looks amazing.
Let me ask you, do you have those lower back butt indents?
Yes.
Okay, is the pain in one of those indents?
No. It's like if you trace the left hand indent southwest, like the side of my buttock.
Gotcha.
Like below my hip, but a little bit behind it.
You might have something called sacroiliitis.
Ooh, what's that?
Which is inflammation of one or both of the bottom of the backbone that joins where your pelvis is.
How do you know about this?
Because I have it too. I've had it. I'm telling you, it was COVID induced. And every time I tell my doctor, he's like, you're fat.
Oh, God.
I know. It's terrible. But sacroiliitis And it, sometimes it'll travel to the front and it'll feel sort of like a period pain.
Ooh,
but
ow,
for
ow,
me,
ow.
It's mostly in my lower right back. There's almost nothing you can do. I mean, you could go to physical therapy for it, but physical therapy is expensive.
What causes it? Does something?
It just happens. In your 30s, things start to become less limber than they were.
This is what it says. The causes of sacroiliitis can include damage to the sacroiliac joints from falling or after a car accident. Joints becoming loose during pregnancy to prepare for birth. Nope. An altered gait during pregnancy. Nope. Osteoarthritis.
Oh, great. Yay.
An infected sacroiliac joint or gout.
Interesting.
Gout.
Have you been eating too many oysters, Bethany? Are your toes inflamed?
Do oysters cause your toes to get inflamed?
Yeah, isn't that what gout is? It makes your big toe real fat and painful.
And I think that Jordan Catalano got gout when he gained weight for a role. What's his name?
Jared Leto.
Jared Leto got gout, I think, when he was he gained weight for a role and like gained it too quickly. What causes gout?
Yeah, shellfish, I think, causes gout. Foods that are very rich.
Causes of gout. Gout flare triggers. Hyperuricemia. This is my favorite, where we just pretend we're doctors.
It's called the rich man's disease because it's, you know, foods that are cream heavy, shellfish heavy, that kind of thing.
That makes sense. I'm on gouteducation.org and the nurse looking at me looks very disappointed in me that I have gout.
Uric crystals, Bethany. That's what it's all about. Do you know that some taste buds are waking up early and getting together and doing stretching at like 5:45 in the morning?
Look at that. Good for them.
I know. Look how much wellness and good we've inspired in the world.
You know, stretching is my favorite thing.
Yeah.
I love relaxing stretching. It wasn't until I started doing aerial that I learned that some stretching is awful and is painful, specifically active stretching.
Yeah.
Where it's like, go into your split.
Yeah.
And now try to use only your legs to stand back up. That hurts and it's awful. That's not fun and it hurts.
My favorite stretching is when I can do something while I'm stretching.
Yeah.
Like the other day I was stretching and spraying bug spray in my mom's backyard. So I would take a step to the left and like bend over to stretch the back of my legs. What is that? Your hamstrings. And I'd be like, okay, for 15 seconds, I'm going to spray bug spray here and also stretch my hamstrings.
Feels so good. Yeah. Or if you can stretch and like listen to a podcast or read a book, you know, like go into like your straddle and like just read for a little bit. It's amazing.
The other day, Neil's brother told me, Bethany, and I'm horrified by this. He runs with no music. He doesn't have earbuds. He raw runs.
He raw runs. What does he think about?
He says that it's some of his best thinking time. Like it's some of the time that he looks forward to the most. Because Neil's brother didn't even know the name of our podcast. Because I started suggesting podcasts to him and I was like, oh, and there's this great one, Acquired Taste. And he's like, oh, okay. He didn't even know.
Test. He failed the test.
He totally failed the test. But I can't imagine. Isn't that horrifying?
I mean,
not having something to listen to at all times.
I'm envious of the ability to just be with one's own thoughts for that long. Is this the brother-in-law that doesn't like you very much?
Yeah, he doesn't like me. Yeah.
So was that helped by you going, what? How could you do that?
I know. And everyone at the table was like, oh, this is awkward because my favorite thing is listening to radio and online books and music and stuff like that. I live my life with my earbuds in and Neil's brother doesn't even own a pair.
Okay, tell me this.
Yeah.
Is he one of those people that is very demonstrative of the fact that he doesn't need sound? Is he like one of those people who's like, I don't use air conditionings and I make it a point to be proud of?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah. He definitely is. Like, technology's not his thing.
Yeah. But is he like judgy of people who do use earbuds?
Oh, no, definitely not.
Oh, okay.
No.
Okay.
But I think if he could live his life sort of like a simpler Amish style type of thing, he definitely would do it.
I think I would too, though. I can't begrudge him that.
Bethany, stop it.
The
you
idea
absolutely of would not.
Waking up with the rooster crowing and just having physical labor to do.
Well, that's different.
That sounds wonderful.
You could still listen to your favorite podcast while doing physical labor.
I guess, but like, listening to the sounds of the trees, the music of the birds, I think it just sounds lovely. But I also think it's like the second that you have to make income from that, you realize how unsustainable it is to be a small farmer. But like, I just want to like be around nature in a way that isn't scary. I want neighbors or something where I'm not going to get like murdered in the night, but also nature. I don't know if you can even have that.
Yeah, you can. I think that podcasts and listening to the radio hands-free where I can have it in my ears and like do yard work and clean the house and work on art projects or whatever while I'm listening, I do feel like it enriches my life.
Fully. It is such a wonderful little luxury to be able to have something you're listening to follow you all over the place. And
yes,
even just to have something to listen to. We have endless options.
Being alone with my thoughts and gardening at the same time, that's terrifying to me, actually.
Kathleen, what is the first thought you would try to avoid having?
Oh, God. When I'm alone with my thoughts, I mostly think about everything that I need to do.
Yeah.
As opposed to just running away from my responsibilities like I do when I'm listening to podcasts.
Yeah, totally. They distract me from what's really happening, which is just like everything falling apart, you know?
There's something I would like to tell you about. I would like to tell the world about it.
Okay.
And it is good for people who have backyards and good for people who have regular homes with no backyards. I guess that's called an apartment.
Yeah. Uh-huh. Yeah.
There is a bug spray called Maggie's Farm.
Okay.
It is a bug repellent for ants, roaches, in my case, clover mites.
Ugh.
It's totally natural.
Great.
It's got stuff in it like spearmint and thyme and things like that. I had a clover mite problem in my mom's backyard because she had some sod brought in, and sod comes from other places and it introduces new bugs. And clover mites are these tiny little, they look like little orange spiders.
Oh, kill me.
When you kill them, they stain. So I had one on the bottom of my shoe, walked into my mom's new bathroom with, she's got this new tile on the floor, and it got squished underneath my shoe, and now there's a stain on her GG new tile floor, and I felt so bad. So I was like, okay, I need to get control of these. They were all over the backyard in her new stonework and stuff. So I got this Maggie's Farm home bug spray. I got like 8 bottles of it. I just went to town. It killed everything. I went back a week later. No signs of the bugs coming back. And so if you can, it's better for your pets. It's better for people sitting in your backyard in general. Try a natural way to kill insects that are pest type insects before you try the harmful chemicals. Just give it a try first because you might be pleasantly surprised.
That's awesome.
That's actually what I learned this week.
It's crazy. That's good. That's good.
Yeah.
It's crazy to think about, like, you know, when bees sting you, they die, or by and large, you know, they die. It's sort of like that's the mite's way of getting back at you for killing it. It's like, well, I'm going to stain your grout, so suck it.
And if you have nice stonework in your backyard, it'll stain your slates or whatever. So anyway, Bethany, hey, what did you learn this week?
I learned about this fascinating story that a lot of people might already know about, especially if you live in like the New York, New Jersey, Philly area. The musical Rebecca that was supposed to come out, I want to say in 2012.
Oh.
Never came out.
Isn't that a movie from the 80s too?
I think it's a movie. And then you told me off the air, I think that they remade it for Netflix starring the supposed alleged cannibal.
Yeah, Armie Hammer.
Yeah.
It was actually a pretty good movie. I saw it like 2 years ago on Netflix or something.
There was supposed to be a Broadway version of the story Rebecca, and it made headlines for this giant scandal and was canceled before it ever made it to the stage.
Oh, tell me about this, because, you know, I have a friend, Rebecca, who's named after the movie.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Her mom, like, saw the movie or read the book and liked the name Rebecca so much, she's named after it.
Well, a link. I watched this YouTube documentary. It's about less than an hour long. It was fascinating. I'll link it. I'm not going to give it all away. But basically, there was a mystery angel investor that was putting up a ton of money for the musical Rebecca.
Yeah.
And that investor gave courage to other smaller investors to also give their money. And then the major investor mysteriously died. And that is all I will tell you, this is 100% true.
Wow.
And it's a fascinating story. I'll link it in the show notes.
I think that there is a mysterious death in the storyline, which is weirdly syncs up.
Well, look at that. Isn't that interesting? Kathleen, where can people find you on social media?
At WebGirlKathleen on everything. How about you, Bethany?
I'm Radio Bethany on Twitter, Ms. Bethany Watson on Instagram. You can also follow our show on social media.
Yes, we are Acquired Podcast on Twitter.
At Acquired Taste Podcast on Instagram.
Acquired Taste Podcast on Facebook. Plus, make sure you check out the fan group. Lots of interesting, wonderful people in there.
You can also send us an email, hello@acquiredtastepodcast.com.
And we have a snail mail address, and that's an Acquired Taste Podcast, P.O. Box 1717, Hoboken, New Jersey, 07030.
Our show is edited by Dennis Callow. You can follow him on social media at Dennis, C-A-H-L-O. And speaking of Dennis, we have a spinoff podcast called The Check-In.
Yes.
That comes out twice a month right here on your Acquired Taste Podcast feed. As of this, there are 4 episodes out. The 5th one comes out this week.
People are loving The Check-In. They keep leaving voicemails about it.
Oh, yay. That's so good. I'm glad people are liking it.
It's so interesting to get a peek into you and Dennis, like a little behind the scenes, Bethany.
It's fun. And this week, for tomorrow's episode, I read through some of the panicked text messages he sent me throughout our relationship. And it's very, very fun.
Oh, my goodness. And also, we have a Patreon where we do 2 live shows a month. We do book club. We do study group. And we're just having so much fun with these live shows.
Yeah.
It's just love hanging out and chatting with taste buds and occasionally, you know, inviting people on screen with us. And our June dates for Patreon are as follows. On June 14th, we're doing a live show at 7:30 p.m. On June 19th, we're doing book club. That's a Sunday night at 7:30 p.m. And on June 29th, also at 7:30 p.m., we're doing our second live show.
Yes. And if you want to join in, if you're not a patron, you can go to patreon.com/acquiredtaste and join in all the fun. We have a bunch of different levels.
Woohoo.
Woohoo. This is your weekly reminder to take a deep breath.
And taste buds, here's what you had to say this week.
Hey, Bethany and Kathleen, anonymous taste bud here today. Responding to last week's episode where you were wondering if Kathleen's friend should try to tell the girlfriend of her one-night stand what was happening. So I've been in that situation sort of a couple times. Once in college, I was covering a friend's babysitting job while she was away. And I babysat one day, and then before I was supposed to go back, the dad called me. And mind you, I had not really interacted with him, except for him to, like, leave when I got there to go to work. He called me and asked me to come over, and I was confused and said, you know, I thought I wasn't supposed to be there for a few more days to babysit. I'm not around right now. And he proceeded to say that he just wanted to hang out. And he thought I was really beautiful and, you know, wanted to, like, get to know me and stuff. And it was super creepy. So I didn't want to go back to babysit. So I ended up, after much thinking, called his wife to let her know what happened and why I would not be coming back to babysit because I felt really uncomfortable. She started crying. It was awful. Don't think they broke up, though. What was even worse was, like, later having to go to her job to get my money that she owed me because I was a broke college student and I couldn't go without the money. So that was one time that I alerted someone to their significant other trying to go behind their back. Another time, also in college, I was at a bar and a guy was kind of flirting with me and I really wasn't into it, but I was letting him, you know, think I was into it enough that he would keep buying me drinks. I was in college. Sorry about that. That's why I'm anonymous right now. And nothing happened. And he was, you know, a little mad about it, but I didn't lead him on at all. I was quite clear that nothing was going to happen. I was just giving him enough attention that if he wanted to buy me drinks, I would let him do that. Fast forward a while later, probably a week or a month, I had given him my number because we went from one bar to another one. And I got a random text message from some woman saying that she saw my number in her boyfriend's phone and wanted to know if he was cheating on her because he had cheated on her before. So I told her, he did not cheat on you, with me at least, but not for not trying, that he wanted to. And I just wasn't all about it. I didn't know about you. Otherwise, I wouldn't even have been talking to him at all. But you know, he, I don't know what he's doing, but he's definitely not being very honest. And then he called me and was like, why did you tell my girlfriend? Or she's not my girlfriend. Why did you say that's my ex? She's crazy. And I was like, dude, I don't even actually really know you very well. But like, don't be shady. So I'm a big fan of, yeah, being pretty honest, but I will say it definitely can backfire because not everyone is ready to know what happened.
Hello, Taste Bud Annie here. I just wanted to say that I'm a little behind and I just finished the Sad Penis Medicine episode and it has to be one of my favorites. I was just laughing out loud the whole time. Please follow through and do that once a month because it was just gold. I loved it. All right, ladies, have a good day and I'll talk to you later. You down with ATT? Yeah, you know me. Oh my God, how do I erase this? Is there a way to erase this?
Expecting heavy downpours all day today.
You're a builder. You build. It's literally in your job title.
Woo, let's hit it.
A little rain isn't stopping you. Not today, not any day. Shouldn't your flashing tape be working through it all too? Only Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape's high-performance acrylic adhesive sticks, re-sticks, and stays stuck, even on the roughest surfaces in rain, snow, heat, and more. So you stay in control when it matters most. Show weather who's boss with Frog Tape Pro Grade Flashing Tape.
Missing minerals? 99% of us are. Concentrace Daily Mineral Powder helps restore what your body's missing, naturally supporting mood, energy, and immunity. Get yours now at TraceMinerals.com.